Hey friends, this is Boss Barista. I'm Ashley Rodriguez. I was at work a couple of days ago, and I started talking to one of my coworkers about a project that she wanted to work on, and it was about an abortion that she had had earlier that year. And she was talking about how the political climate has made her want to express herself in a creative format. She talked a little bit about podcasting. She knew that I had a podcast, and she was asking me a couple of questions. And as we were going back and forth, I told her about my abortion. And I realized in that moment that she was the first person I had ever talked to about my abortion who has also had an abortion. I am not secretive about this fact. I was 23. I was at my very first coffee shop job, and I was pregnant, and then I wasn't. That's how it happened. But I realized in that moment of sharing the story with my coworker that as much as I want to believe that I feel 100% okay about the decision I made, which I do, that it's still treated as this societal taboo to talk about it. Like, it's something that we have to say in whispers or behind a cloud or just any silly euphemism you can think of for we should not talk about this. This is not something that we share with other people. So I wanted to change that. I'm not the first person who's thought of this by any means. There is a great organization called Shout Your Abortion, and it tells stories from women about their abortions, attempting to normalize the procedure. Because that's what it was for me. It was a completely normal procedure. It wasn't the abortion itself that really affected me. It was all of the ways that we have been socialized to reject abortion as an okay thing that have really kind of troubled me over the last 7 or 8 years since I had it. So I'm launching a kind of mini series today based on the idea of Shout Your Abortion. I'm talking to different people in the coffee industry about their abortions, about what it was like to work while you knew you were pregnant, about what you had to do to ask your boss for time off for maybe something you weren't prepared to talk about working in cafes where your customers might not be okay hearing about abortion or even any arguments regarding pro-choice litigation. So get ready to join us as we talk to people from everywhere, sharing their stories and just listening to what it's like to be a barista who's had an abortion. So a couple weeks ago, we put a call out on Twitter asking people to share their abortion stories. And we heard from a woman named Katie pretty quickly. We're not going to use her last name. We're also not going to identify where she's from. She said that we can say that she's somewhere in the Midwest because there's still a lot of people who feel very strongly about her decision. We talked a little bit about what it was like for her to get an abortion in 2011, and she shared some pretty incredible stories about herself and her family. We asked Katie to talk about her story from her own perspective. You're really not going to be hearing too many questions from me. This is mostly about Katie, and we're hoping to share more stories like this. Please enjoy.
Let me start the recording. Where do you want to start with this story?
I guess the logical place to start would be to talk about kind of where I was in my life at that point. I was managing a coffee shop. I'd started there just as a barista and kind of worked my way up, which was mostly a matter of being there for a period of time and proving to the owner, who'd also kind of been the manager, that I was competent. And gradually he, you know, passed all the responsibilities on to me short of writing the rent checks. I had a great staff there. The owner wasn't the super nicest guy in the world, but we had a working relationship. This was 2011. I found myself pregnant because contraception fails sometimes. No form of contraception is 100% foolproof. And I knew immediately that I didn't want to have a baby. The guy that I was dating at the time, who was the father of the potential child, was someone who was not good with kids. I'd seen him around his nieces, and he basically treated them like tiny adults. And they loved him, but they did not understand each other at all. I knew he wasn't good with kids. I knew he wasn't interested in having kids. He told me that the decision was entirely up to me, but I knew right away that I didn't want to have a child. So I took a pregnancy test, a home pregnancy test, and then made an appointment with Planned Parenthood to confirm that I was indeed pregnant, and then immediately made a follow-up appointment to have the abortion. I had a weekend off planned anyway. I was going to go visit my sister. So I called my sister and told her, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it out. And I told her why, because I knew that I could trust her to take in the information in a way that was loving and understanding. Asked her not to tell anybody else about this. And then I was able to make the follow-up appointment for the procedure. I did a medication abortion. So basically they bring you in and they have you do like an ultrasound and everything. And then they give you the medication to take home with you. So I spent all weekend at home doing that, basically just like laying super low the day that I took the medication because it made me kind of sick. And then the next day to recover, and then went back to work. I didn't tell any of my coworkers about what had happened, and certainly not my boss, because I knew that he would not understand. I think I didn't tell my coworkers largely out of a sense of it being something that was kind of private, being a medical procedure, and also I didn't know where all of them stood on the issue of being pro-choice or anti-choice. And it's a bit of a safety issue, always addressing this with some people because people feel very strongly about it. So I just went back to normal pretty quickly. It wasn't the sort of thing that was super earth-shattering for me. It wasn't a crisis in any way. It didn't cause me a lot of physical discomfort or any other medical issues. Something I did and went on with my life.
It seems like you were not lucky in a way, but it was coincidental that you had like time off at that particular time to go and take care of that. Would that have been easy for you to have scheduled otherwise if like perhaps you didn't have that time off? Like, did you think about like, oh, I have to schedule like my work life around this at all?
I think I probably could have approached the owner and gotten him to help me out if I said like I had a medical emergency that I didn't feel comfortable telling him about. I think that I probably could have found a couple of coworkers who would have been understanding that would have covered for me. Like, I think it might have been a little bit more of a headache, but I don't know that it would have been that big of a deal.
Right.
I'm also just not the sort of person who like calls out of work ever. I think everyone who I worked with knew my work ethic, and if I told them that I had something really important I needed to go do, I think they would have all just said, okay, we trust that you really do need this time.
Right. I'm trying to like think of, because your story is like so clean cut in a way. Like they're so.
And I think that's one of the good things about it, I guess, in terms of sharing it, is that it's like, you know, it's pretty straightforward.
It's right.
Like, I didn't experience anything super negative. I did something that I knew I needed to do, and I am endlessly grateful for access to abortion. I know there are a lot of states that it's super tough to get an abortion, that you have to cross state lines and like take way more time off of work. A lot of folks have to go back and do like second or third appointments over a span of weeks. But I was able to just go to a clinic that I could access super easily. There were no protesters or anyone interfering with me coming and going from the clinic. I had a partner who was supportive of me making whatever decision I felt that I needed to make. A couple of friends of ours like brought over food for us so that I could eat while recovering. Yeah, overall, it was a pretty seamless experience.
It sounds like you just described getting like a root canal.
Yeah, exactly. I think in the best possible world, it's a very simple, straightforward procedure. There's this book that I read recently that's a series of essays and short stories and poems and stuff. It's called The Feminist Utopia Project. The first essay in it is it's a short story envisioning a future in which every young person is assigned a reproductive health counselor when they begin to hit puberty, that then guides you through all of your reproductive health choices for the rest of your life, including whether or not to take birth control. And then, like, if you choose to have children, they guide you through all of that process. So it's one healthcare provider through your entire life that's always there for you, and guides you through whatever you might need. And this is the first story in the book. And I read it and had to set down the book and cry because I thought, like, what a beautiful, amazing idea, that all of us have reproductive guidance throughout our entire lives, that there's no question of there ever being any like trauma or difficulty accessing resources, that it's just always there.
Has it ever been something that you've faced, having like hurdles or difficulty in terms of protecting your reproductive health?
I haven't, no, because I've always lived in big cities. My family always made sure that I've had health insurance continuously through my entire life, so I've always had access to care. And I realize that I'm very fortunate in this. I've done a good bit of work to support Planned Parenthood with this in mind, because I know that they are always battling to keep their doors open and have the funding that they need, and to be able to continue to provide resources for people. So I've done Planned Parenthood lobby days. I've done phone banking. I've done data entry. I helped organize a big event where we raised $10,000 for our local branch of Planned Parenthood. I try to be aware of how fortunate I have been, about how much privilege that means that I have, that I've always had access to resources.
You mentioned safety in your particular city that you live in, because you kind of never know where people stand. Have you ever like gotten a preview of that from a different issue? Like, I'm imagining maybe going to work the day after Trump was elected, for example, or maybe some other initiative passed that can be very divisive between not just coworkers, but customers.
I have a very clear memory of the day after the election. I opened the coffee shop where I was working at the time. And I just remember everyone being shell-shocked that not very many of us verbalized explicitly what we were thinking or feeling, but that a lot of us were just like looking each other in the eye. Like, those of us working behind the counter were looking at our customers as, you know, individuals, because a lot of the customers we had at that cafe were regulars, people who we knew, you know, what they do for a living, their dog's name, their kid's name, where they live, more or less in terms of like the neighborhood. We just look these folks in the eye as they'd come up to the counter to get coffee and be able to recognize that, you know, we're feeling the same thing just from the expressions on each other's faces, and just checking in with everybody. They'd be like, are you okay? Yeah, I guess. Are you okay? Yeah, I guess. It was a lot of that all day. There was only one person at that particular cafe who came in that we knew was politically conservative. It was because he flew the banner. He had one of those MAGA hats. He lectured me at one point on how they're coming for our guns and our liberty. He was interested in chemtrails. And we, our approach with him was always just kind of smile and nod and send him on his way. At one point, one of my coworkers plunked his latte on the counter in front of him and said, "Well, at least we can agree on good coffee." And then both of us walked away. So in under those circumstances, customer service, we find that I've pretty much always had to just kind of put a smile on my face, treat the person on the other side of the counter as a human being who has the right to their own ideas, and then move on. Whereas in my private life, if I ran into that person, I might have been more like to engage with them in a way that would suggest pretty openly that I didn't agree with their viewpoints.
That makes sense. So this happened in 2011. How have you changed since then? Like how do you still carry this as part of you, as something that's happened to you, but at the same time as just just an event in your life? Like, has your thinking about abortion changed? Like, I know that I've been trying to be more open in my life about it, but at the same time, like, as I'm recording this right now, I keep thinking I have to tell my mom that I had an abortion because I'm recording this, and I still have never told her. And I'd like to think of myself as a very open person, and that kind of contradicts that. So I wonder, like, as you get older, like, how do you carry this with you? Like, how do you think about it, and have you changed your thinking at all about it?
Before I had an abortion, my attitude was always, I would not do this myself, but I would never prevent anyone else from having access to it. So I'm not sure exactly how the adjustment happened in terms of my thinking. I'd like to think that it was kind of more of a gradual sea change, until it got to the point when I actually had to make the choice for myself. I can't remember if I've told my mother or not. I've told my mother quite a few things about myself that I was concerned that she would not be all that accepting of, and I just honestly can't recall if this is one of those things. I am an atheist. My mother is a churchgoer, has been her entire life. So I remember having to kind of break that to her, and she was kind of, well, I kind of suspected that that was the case. So I've already accepted that this may be true about you. So that was fairly easy. I think if I told my mom that I'd had an abortion, I think if I made a point of bringing it up in conversation, that she'd be fine with it. She knows how much advocacy I do for Planned Parenthood. In talking to my grandmother recently, my grandma is in her late 80s. My grandpa is in his 90s. I visited with them a few months ago and was talking to my grandmother about all my political activism. And she mentioned that she still makes a donation to Planned Parenthood every month. And she told me that my great-grandmother, her mother, had an abortion when she was young. It was when she was first married. She wanted to have a family, but wasn't yet ready to start one. And so she went and had an abortion. And this kind of floored me. It had never occurred to me that any of my family members would have had an abortion, let alone my great-grandmother. And my mom, you know, was, in the room when this conversation happened, and she was totally accepting of that. So I don't see why she would be not accepting of me telling my particular story. And I imagine I probably will tell her about this podcast and such, so I will check in with her. Her memory is not all that great anyway, so even if I have told her that I had an abortion, she may not actually remember that. Because I think, it'll be fairly mundane news for her too, thankfully. I'm grateful for having a strong feminist mother who has always been supportive of my decisions. And when I talk to her about all of the work that I do for Planned Parenthood and all the political volunteering that I do, she always She cries when she tells me how proud she is of me, so I don't take her support for granted either.
Do people react strangely when you tell them about this? Because I feel like that's the thing that I notice the most, is that when I tell people that I've had an abortion, they treat it like, it's almost like they think that this is like a trust moment. Like I trust them so much to tell them that. And I'm like, like this is an intimate detail, sure, but there's something sacred for some reason for people hearing news like this, I guess. And I wonder if you've ever been met with that.
I just haven't told that many people. And it's funny because I've been telling people more lately because I've been mentioning that I was going to do this podcast episode potentially. Like I was just at work closing up shop with one of my friends and he said, oh, what are you getting into tonight? And I said, well, have you listened to the Boss Barista podcast? He said, yes. And I said, well, I'm talking to Ash this evening. And he said, oh, are you talking about just being, you know, a woman and a barista? And I was like, well, a woman and a barista who's had an abortion. And he went, oh, and then we just kind of moved on from there. So he took it in stride. And I think that that's kind of been what's happening lately, is I've been just kind of like, and by the way, today I'm going to work and then going to the bookstore and then talking about my abortion and then I'm doing this and just kind of working it in a conversation in a way that indicates how mundane it is to me. And I think because of that, people kind of take it in stride as I like, oh, this is just a thing. And, you know, amongst all these other things.
How do you think we continue to normalize it?
I think continue to give people real information about what abortion is like and the science behind it, and how non-traumatic it can be for a lot of people. I think that there are a lot of stories that get shared that do talk about it in the context of trauma. And I think that those stories are used to emphasize how essential the service is. I think we also need to balance those out with stories that are like mine, that are super mundane, that emphasize the fact that, you know, it can be something that you just have as part of your life and it doesn't have to be hugely significant.
Yeah, I think the significance for me has not been about actually doing it as much as the socialization I feel about how and when to talk about it, about people's reactions to it when I mention it. So it's almost like breaking that stigma of it.
Yeah, and I think that that will be something that I carry with me moving forward, is learning how to gauge who I can talk to about it, when I can talk about it in situations where there might be someone who is opposed to the idea. My boyfriend's mother is very Catholic and he has asked me not to ever tell her because it would distress her immensely. And
how does that make you feel?
My boyfriend's mother is a really, really nice person. She's a lovely human being and I like her a lot. And, I don't like the idea of causing her undue distress. However, if I'm going to comply with my boyfriend's wishes not to tell her, but I do sort of wish that I could tell her to kind of humanize the idea for her a little bit, just to be, hey, this is a person that you already know and like, who has made this decision. I don't think that it will make her think of me as an abhorrent person. She'll probably pray for me. But I think it's a good idea sometimes to put a face to these things that for a lot of people are these kind of nebulous concepts that are way more easily demonized. I think the Catholic Church in particular is a major factor in, at least in the communities that I live and work in, is a major factor in people's views on the subject of abortion.
Is there anything else you want to share or anything else you think that you haven't said that you'd like to say?
I think I've kind of covered most of the ground that I'd thought about in advance. I wanted to make sure to work in that story about my great grandma because I think that's super cool.
That is incredible. When was that? When would that have been?
I don't know specifically. I could probably do some research and figure it out.
Like, do you have like a guess on like maybe what decade even that would have been? Like Roe v. Wade was 1973, so I'm guessing if it's your great grandmother, this must have been before that.
I'm looking to see if I can find an email that might have something. My sister is actually pregnant right now, and she's been going through archives of family names trying to choose a name for her son. So she sent me an email with the super long family tree that goes way back to our grandmother's ancestors who came to the United States from Russia way back in the day. Sorry, I found the email. I'm just opening up the document.
Oh, no, you're all good.
This document's kind of hard to read because it's not laid out in a traditional like family tree sense where it's like a web. It's more of a list that you then have to like follow indexed numbers.
Why would it be easy?
Exactly. So I found my grandma on this list. I don't think it actually has birth dates on it. Dang. Yeah, it's just, well, it's got birth dates for some people, but not for everybody. Let's try the other document. Yeah, that's the other side of the family. Yeah, I imagine it must have been before Roe versus Wade. I could probably figure it out by finding out my grandma's birthday and then kind of working backwards from there and get like a decade at least. If my grandmother is 86 now, what year would she have been born?
If 86, it's 2018. I like literally just started doing the math on here. She would have been born in 1932.
Okay, so it would have been before that.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's your great grandmother. That's. Okay, that's really cool. I'm glad we figured that out.
Yeah, so my great grandma had an abortion probably in the 1920s.
Wow. Have you ever seen that movie? Oh God, I forget. I think it's called Vera Drake. It's about a woman who illegally goes around England giving women abortions. I want to say it's placed in either the late 1800s, early 1900s. And I'm just thinking about that now because it was incredibly risky to do that when it was illegal. And I'm imagining in the 1920s and 30s, depending on where you lived, it must have been incredibly prohibitive to get an abortion. Incredibly difficult, both legally and just by having the means to do it.
Yeah, I'll have to ask my grandma to see if she has any more information about the circumstances surrounding, because she might. She did a lot of research into our family history. And she and my grandpa both have done a lot of work to document their own lives. So I wouldn't be surprised if she could give me some more context for that. I think that my great-grandmother would have been living in New York around this time, but I'm not 100% on that. I'd be willing to bet that proximity to a big city would make it more likely that she'd be able to find a physician that would be willing to help her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, Katie, thank you for talking to us, and thank you for sharing your story and just being like real chill in general.
Yeah, no problem. I hope that I've given you some good usable material.
If you or someone you know has a story that they want to share, please reach out to us. We're at bossbaristapodcast@gmail.com. You can send us a direct message on Instagram or on Twitter. I'm pretty easy to find myself. My name is Ashley Rodriguez. You can email me directly too, or find me on social media. I want to hear more of these stories. We can do more to normalize this experience for more baristas and make them more comfortable talking about it. So please call, write, send in your stories. We're thrilled to share them with you, and we'd be absolutely delighted for you to be on this podcast. Boss Barista was created by me, Ashley Rodriguez, and made in collaboration with Good Beer Hunting, which is an industry-leading brand studio, editorial platform, and podcast devoted to the many issues worth discussing around the things that we eat and drink. You can learn more at goodbeerhunting.com. Please check out their website. There are so many incredible articles that I find myself looking at constantly over and over, looking for advice about how we can be better in the coffee industry. They're doing a great job, and they're helping us make this podcast for you folks. So goodbeerhunting.com. Go ahead, check them out.